Be sure to subscribe to the Front Row Knowles podcast and follow at Front Row Knowles on Twitter. Now back to at underscore Tom Block and Twitterless Keith Jones. Yes, you heard us right, in the Prime Meridian Bank Studios.
Welcome back to Front Row Knowles. Really pleased to reopen that Earl Bacon Agency hotline, the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together, and say hello to a senior star in the Florida State soccer team, Gabby Carl. But more than that, especially in light of this summer, an Olympic gold medalist. So has that sunk in yet, Gabby?
I've gotten this question a lot these past few days, and no, actually, I always say no, not really. Eventually, I think it will, but right now it's still surreal.
Where do you keep this gold medal?
I keep it in its case in my room, but whenever I travel, the case is a little big, so I put it in a sock. Keeps it safe.
Now, Gabby, we were chatting before we came on the air, and you're from Canada, obviously. When was the last time you were back home?
Yeah, it had been a year. I hadn't seen my family, my friends, my home in a year, yeah.
And that's because you were playing for Florida State and then COVID happened and the borders were closed due to COVID. And then we should point out for listeners just tuning in that Gabby was a member of the Canadian Olympic women's soccer team, which won gold in Tokyo. What was that moment like, that experience like for you, especially as the clock ticked down and you knew you were going to be a gold medalist?
Yeah, I mean, it was extremely stressful at some point because we were in PKs and it just was back and forth. We didn't know between us and Sweden who was going to score the winning PK. So till the very end, I didn't know whether we were going to be gold medalists or silver medalists. But then when we actually won, it was just like euphoria. Like it was just, like everyone was so happy and there was no thinking. There was just like just pure joy.
And Gabby, you've been in Tallahassee and a member of the Florida State team for four and a half years, going on five. You're close with your teammates. We know Coach Kay and his group build a lot of relationships off the field. How about your Canadian teammates? Had you played with many of them before? Did you have longer type relationships with them? How did that dynamic work?
Yeah, we have a great, great, great team in terms of relationships and culture. I think everyone gets along really well, and I think you can see that on the field as well. Really helps us. I'm really lucky that my country, we're just very close together.
What about, and this is part of how Mark recruits, I think, because he's got so many international players and many of you play for the national team of your native countries. But that's just part of, and he always, my understanding anyway, he allows you to go take the time away from the Florida State team to play in caps or friendlies or whatever. Maybe that's standard across women's college soccer. I don't know, but it seems like it's a pretty good selling point, and obviously it's worked well for Coach Krikorian and FSU.
Yeah, for sure. I think when he recruits us, he tells us, like, for me, when he recruited me, there was never, like, you have to choose between Canada and us. It's never that. It's, we're going to help you get even better so you can be an even better player for Canada and for Florida State.
Now, Gabby, will you forgive us? Because we kind of messed up on the introduction. We should say, two-time medalist, because people probably aren't aware that you also have another Olympic medal that came a little earlier in your career. Tell us about that real quick.
Yeah, in 2016, before I came to Florida State, I was also in Rio where we won bronze, which was also a very great experience at 17-year-old.
Let me ask you this now as we transition it to FSU a little bit. You were a member of the 2018 national championship team at FSU. And I know they're, in some respects, it's apples and oranges, I guess. You're talking about the women's collegiate stage in the U.S. versus the world stage. But were there similarities in terms of the euphoria that goes with winning those titles?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think whatever the stage you're in, once you win the biggest honor, it's similar for sure. It's really similar.
And last year,
your major is exercise physiology. Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
And Tommy, you may not know this because I looked it up, but she's a first team academic All-American. So Gabby, I don't know whether you care, but you and I have that in common because about 108 years ago, when I was playing ball at Florida State, I also was an academic All-American. Mm-hmm. That always is something I like to point out. Tell us, after you get through with your soccer career, what do you want to do with that degree? How do you want to make that work for the rest of your life?
Yeah, since I was a teenager, I've wanted to be a doctor as well. So eventually I'd like to go to med school, whether that's like within my playing career or after my playing career, I still have to figure that out.
Sounds like a solid plan. Well, as you look at this FSU team this year, I know you return a lot of familiar faces. I guess as a starting point, you were so close to winning another national title last year. How much do you think that will fuel this year's team? And for those who don't recall, and I'm sorry to bring it up, but really you were 6 or 7 minutes away from closing out that game and it just didn't go FSU's way.
Yeah, for sure. We were so close that I think it's definitely still in the back of our minds that we still have something to accomplish here. And I definitely think we have the talent to do so this year. We just have to put in the work. And I think it could go very well for us.
FSU, I certainly don't hear any complacency, Tommy. It doesn't sound like there's any complacency there. So she's not going to walk around with that gold medal and tell everybody that the FSU season is meaningless, I don't think.
I wouldn't expect complacency from a Coach Krikorian coach team. FSU was picked to win the ACC again this year. Defense is always very, very strong for FSU. Give us kind of a thumbnail sketch. I say scouting report. You don't want to divulge too much there, but what can we expect on the field from this year's team, Gabby?
I think all around the field, we have great players, a lot of depth, and discipline. And also discipline comes from the fact that we have a lot of returning players from last year. So a lot of experience on the field, but also some great players coming in that will be able to make a difference.
Texas A&M on Thursday, Alabama on Sunday. So you get the SEC right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a thumbnail on either of those teams, or just, you know, and especially coming off of COVID, the thrill of actually being able to play at home and have fans in attendance this weekend?
Yeah, for sure. I think all of us can't wait. This is going to be such a great moment. With SEC teams, we always expect them to come out with a fighting physical. So I think we'll just have to be ready for that.
Well, it's been quite the summer for you, Gabby. We appreciate it. Congratulations again. And hopefully there's another trophy in your future when we get to the end of the women's season and the College Cup again in December.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Gabby Carl from the Florida State women's soccer team. We'll come back and wrap things up on Front Row Knowles right after this.
Front Row Knowles with more just ahead.
Hi, I'm Bob Hobbs. We're always talking about getting your best deals, your best trade, and your best financing. With these challenging times, we wanted you to know, if you can't make it in, we'll even bring the car to you, and we'll appraise your vehicle at your home or business. And for all our service customers that can't make it in, we'll pick up your vehicle, get it serviced, and bring it back to you. We just want to make it easy to do business. We appreciate our customers and want to say thank you for your business. So whether it's sales or service, come by and see us or check us out at HobsonChevrolet.com. Buy and service your vehicle the Hobson way.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your local independent Auto Owners agent is the Earl Bacon Agency. Call us at 878-2121 or visit us on the web at earlbacon.com.
Front Row Knowles is presented by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way. And by the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together. Now back to Tom and Keith.
Welcome back to Front Row Knowles. As we wrap things up, still plenty of time to go. Tom and Keith with you. Thanks so much for tuning in on our new home here on Real Talk 93.3. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, refresh your podcast feed, especially if you're on the Apple side of the ledger. We should be all set, good to go there. Listen to the last couple of weeks' show. We talked a lot of conference realignment. Today it was more about what's going on the field for FSU. Keith, just reflecting back to that interview with Gabby Carl, though, from the FSU soccer team.
I'm not really sure where I would keep my gold medal, but I'm thinking the safe deposit box might be a starting point.
I would lean that way. My only problem is when I had people over to the house, I'd want to be showing it to them. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what I do. I know one thing. Gabby hasn't had the opportunity to even get back home. So therefore, she's toting it around in that sock or whatever she was telling us about.
We appreciate her joining us. She's a senior defender and midfielder, has started every game of her Florida State career. So she's pretty much a stalwart on a team that is filled with stars, picked to win the ACC this year, and they kick off their season on Thursday night. Keith, before we go back to FSU, any reaction to the fact that Tim Tebow got released earlier this week? I mean, I don't know if that was a surprise so much as it was a surprise when he came back to play football at a new position.
You know, there are three emotions that surface for me anytime that I hear about Tim Tebow. Number one, you know, we're not supposed to like him because he's a Gator. Number two, we do like him because he's a great human being. And thirdly, why in the heck didn't he try tight end 13 years ago instead of waiting until he was 34? Because he probably would have had a very nice NFL career if he'd have done it then. So there's my threefold reaction.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. Well, he wanted to play quarterback so much that instead of changing positions, he went and tried another sport. So maybe basketball's next for him now, right? Speaking of basketball, Keith, I don't know if you saw the summer league photo that's making the rounds, but it's of all the FSU guys that were playing in the summer league, and it's maybe 12, 15 of them. I mean, it was pretty much everybody that's been in the league at all in the last few years, save for, I think, Malik Beasley and Dwayne Bacon. Other than that, it was Trent Forrest and Fiondu and Patrick Williams and Terrence Mann. And I mean, just it was a reflection of all the work that Leonard and Stan and company have done over the last few years. And Trent Forrest, by the way, you know, he still needs to work on his outside shot, but he had a pretty decent summer league.
He was shooting 42% from three, if I remember correctly. That's a marked improvement for him. You know, one of the things that we used to talk about on the football side, you know, during the 90s and the aughts, is you'd sit down and say, well, try to name all of the guys that are on NFL rosters. Now, obviously, it's a much bigger body of folk, but, you know, there'd be 55, 60, 65 guys on NFL rosters beginning in a given year. Nobody could name them, but you could name the two or three FSU basketball players that were on NBA rosters. Well, you can't do that anymore. And so I echo your comments. Hats off to Stan and Coach Hamilton and CY and Coach Smith for what they've been able to develop. And obviously, for those of us that are paying special attention to the football program under Mike Norvell, the development of players, not just the signing of five-star recruits, but the development of players is something that we're all paying attention to.
Well, speaking of development of players, let's get back to the football field, Keith. I asked Bob about the progress the defensive secondary is making. What are your thoughts about because it's been a very – there's a lot of highly recruited guys there. Even in spite of FSU not recruiting at the level they want to, there's still a pretty good caliber of athlete back there, but the production has not equaled that talent over the last several years.
The production hasn't. Part of that is we've all had to get more accustomed to the quick passing game, to 3, 4, 5 wide outs as opposed to, you know, just two and a tight end. The game is much different than it was even 5 or 10 years ago, so expectations need to be changed. Secondly, you know, there's not been a push up front. They've not had the ability to get pressure on quarterbacks. And again, you got to pick your poison. If they're getting the ball out on the equivalent of what we used to call three-step drops, i.e., in the shotgun, one potato, two potato out, it doesn't make sense to bring blitzes. It doesn't make sense to you know, focus strictly on sacks. It's just not going to happen from a physical standpoint. But I am encouraged by what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing. And as we've talked also, I think you're going to see much more of the 5 and even 6 defensive back schemes, just given the way offenses are today. So having depth there, having the ability for kids to play both the nickel and the safety or what have you is going to be very, very important. But again, you're never going to talk great about that defensive backfield until you get some push up front in some means, recognizing it's still ultimately and very difficult to do it with a quick passing scheme.
no question they go hand in hand. I referenced Marcus Woodson earlier in the show, the defensive backs coach for Florida State. He met the media earlier this week. I found his interview pretty enlightening. He was pretty candid about a lot of players. And Bob brought out the name Travis Jay, and he was a local star from over in Madison County. And, you know, this might be the year that he comes into his own. He's somebody that was highly touted. It does have a high level of athleticism. He's versatile, can play the corner or the safety spot. And what Woodson talked about is he wants them to just get mentally tougher, which I think that's probably in regard to you got to have a short memory and forget the last play and line up and go again the next one. That's an assumption on my part. But there's only so many guys like that could be true difference makers. And he's one of them, especially if you use him at punt returns too. Remember, we saw him at kick return early last year before he got hurt. But he's somebody that could change the scoreboard, to use the comments of a previous coach here.
The problem with youngsters in the defensive backfield is that they have a tendency to play on their talent as opposed to play technique and discipline football. And that only happens with rep after rep after rep at the higher level. Because in high school, their athleticism will let them take over if they make a false step or they turn the wrong way or they're a half a second behind. You don't get that luxury at the college level. So that mental discipline, that mental toughness is something that all the young kids have to learn given the speed of the game now. And I agree with you. I think he's made great progress in that regard. By the way, I want to get a hold of that S2 test that Coach was talking about. That's the first time I've heard of that one. I know about the Greenberg test. I know about other aptitude tests that are used in business, but it's the first I've heard of that. If I'm calling it the right thing, that S2 test.
It's a cognition test, Keith, and it was developed by a couple of professors at Vanderbilt. And it's really pretty new over the last 4 or 5 years, but more and more, I think I did some research on this. I think 10 or 12 NFL teams were using it about a year ago. So who knows what that number is by now, but it basically grades you in several categories, and it has to do with how quickly you process information. And the two guys I talked about, their research was actually in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and that sort of thing, but they were former athletes. So they've translated it here, and they've got the application with professional and collegiate sports. But and one guy, and this is where Marcus Woodson referenced that test specifically to Akeem Dent.
Right.
They moved him from corner back to safety based on how he scored on that. But it just goes to show the amount of the level of detail, attention to detail that's paid now and that it plays in these sports now.
Do they have a test for radio and television broadcasters? I'm not being set up for anything, am I? Have you got something coming my way I don't know about?
I don't. It's in our case, it's called the English language, and we get about a C on that each week, I think, on this show, Keith.
C minus. We're barely hanging on.
But it would not surprise me. To me, this looks like the a few years ago, they put all the tracking devices on the players so they could measure their work rate and their heart rate and how many extra steps they took, and their pursuit angles and all that stuff. Seems to me that this cognition test, the S2 test, is now that's what's going to be the norm for everybody as we move forward.
Well, I like the move of Dent. I was impressed with him when he first got to Florida State playing at the safety position. Because he was athletic and because there was a need, he was moved up, i.e. to corner and nickel. I believe that might be a very good move. We'll wait and see. But anything you can do to get a better handle on where kids fit, I'm all in favor of, no question.
Well, and the comments were that he really sees the field well, covers a lot of ground. His physicality is good, and they're just working with him to make sure, he's got to get everybody lined up. You know that, Keith, from your days back there, that you guys got to make sure everybody's running the same defense.
Yeah.
But it sounds encouraging there.
We started talking about Coach Bowden services. I'll finish my part here. Bobby Butler, I thought, did a wonderful job as an officiant. I think all of the guys that spoke, who in the world would think you'd see Mickey Andrews choke up? I thought the service was wonderful. Can I name drop, Tommy? Do I get to name drop? Well, that's all I can do now.
Now that you've teased it, fire away.
Well, I had an opportunity to talk to Dabo Swinney. I hadn't talked to him in forever. I've had probably 5 opportunities in the last 10 years. Our old-time folks will remember Kevin Steele, He was there. Dave Van Hollinger, Coach Van Hollinger, was in town. Chris Winkie was there. Obviously, they saw Charlie. I asked Chris, I said, are you still a free agent? He says, well, yeah, I've talked to some coaches. He said, it's kind of late in the game. You know, he got released by Tennessee when they made their move, as did Kevin. He said, I've talked to some coaches. I may end up hooking up with an analyst or something, biding my time. He said, but I'm still under contract. And KJ, I checked that bank account the first of the month, and as long as that deposit's there, I'm okay.
Jimbo Fisher was in town too.
I did not get to speak to Jimbo, but yes, you are correct. He was.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, Deion Sanders spoke on Sunday at the ceremony at Samford, but Derek Brooks pinch hit for him on Saturday at the service in Tallahassee. And I thought, well, it's a nice luxury when one Pro Football Hall of Famer can replace another Pro Football Hall of Famer on short notice. And not surprisingly, he gave a Hall of Fame performance.
Derek's I didn't see coming. That was a story. I thought I heard most of the stories before, but I'd not heard that one. And that one was absolutely hilarious. I was sitting beside my old teammate, Scott Warren, and Scotty was just falling out of his chair. You know, just the way that DB delivered it and the reaction from the crowd, it was wonderful.
It was indeed. All right, folks, well, we're glad you found us here. 12 to 1 each and every Wednesday on Real Talk 93.3. Mentioned earlier in the show, we're on all the podcast platforms now. We worked out the kinks in moving over from the last place with Apple Podcasts, so refresh your feeds there. And Keith, have a good week. We'll know a little bit more, I think, next time we get together. We won't have full answers, but we'll be creeping closer to kickoff.
Another scrimmage scheduled, I think, for Saturday. Unfortunately, it was likely to be closed to everybody. Yes, the kickoff is getting closer and closer. The only thing we know for sure, Tommy, is it will be Notre Dame.
And we know we'll do this show again next week. Till then, he's Keith. I'm Tom. Thanks so much for tuning in to Front Row Noles.